Shall we begin with another prayer? God, we thank you for the glorious day. We ask that you keep people safe as they travel in the wind. And we thank you, Lord, that Holy Spirit lives in our hearts and will speak to us so that each of us gets what we need out of the following message. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Because I had lots of time to prepare, I did a little bit of research online. Now, how many of you are surprised at this? Today's message is on teaching. Well, I can stand here and try to teach, but you guys are sitting there learning. So I looked up learning styles. It's probably obvious that we don't all learn the same way. And when I did my research, there are actual primary learning styles. I don't know if you can see on that little tiny circles there. The top, it starts with kinesthetic, musical, logical, visual, spatial, naturalistic, linguistic, interpersonal, and intrapersonal. That one's a little bit complicated, so I found a kid version. We have nature smart, people smart, number smart, picture smart, self smart, body smart, music smart, and word smart. So I put them in that order and I used the pictures. The first one is nature smart. This person, this learner, likes to garden, hike, camp, walk, and climb, care for pets and wildlife, recycle, spend time outdoors. They excel at collecting, categorizing, recognizing plants and animals, understanding native surroundings, recycling, and they learn best by classifying information, observing, doing experiments, using telescopes and binoculars, and exploring the environment. The people smart are the interpersonal from, the big chart. They like to solve problems, talk to people, join groups and clubs, be a leader, have lots of friends. They excel at understanding people, leading others, socializing, persuading others, mediating conflicts. They learn best by working in a group, cooperating with others, sharing their ideas, communication, and debating. Number smart, the logical mathematical learner, likes to do experiments, figure things out, work with numbers, ask questions, analyze, and make predictions. They excel at mathematics, reasoning, logic, problem solving, using technology, and they learn best by categorizing, classifying, working with abstract patterns and relationships, using the computer, and making time to complete tasks. The picture smart, the spatial learners, like to draw, build, design and create things, daydream, view pictures and movies, see and use color. They excel at using imagination, sensing environment, mazes and puzzles, reading maps and charts, visual arts. They learn best by visualizing, dreaming, stimulating environment, working with colors and pictures, audio and visual materials. The self-smart, the intrapersonal, likes to work independently, pursue their own interests, have strong opinions, work on independent games, and have many choices. They excel at understanding self, focusing inward on feelings and dreams, pursuing interests and goals, being original. And they learn best by individualized projects, self-paced instruction, having private space and time, independently working, reflecting, thinking, and visualizing. Body smart people are the kinesthetic learners. They like to move around, work with their hands, use body language, exercise, and gesture frequently. They excel at physical activities, sports and dance, crafts, drama and acting, mechanics, and they learn best by doing, by moving, by role-playing, hands-on experiences, and action-packed stories and drama. Music smart are the musical learners. They like to sing and hum tunes, listen to music, play an instrument, collect CDs, watch musicals. They excel at picking up sounds, remembering melodies, noticing pitches and rhythms, keeping time, singing songs. They learn best by rhythm, rhyme, and repetition, information put to a beat, playing music while working, performing in skits and musicals, using song lyrics to memorize. And the word smart, the linguistic learner. They like to read, write, tell stories, give speeches, tell jokes or spin tall tales. They excel at memorizing trivia, writing, using an extensive vocabulary, spelling, playing word games, and they learn best by reading, writing, speaking, hearing, and seeing language, discussions and debate, humor incorporated in learning. Now, it is my guess that you find yourself in more than one category, and you should. But there is a dominant or primary style. So just think about it. What is your dominant style? Now, with that style in mind, do you think you could learn more of the Bible that way? Could you set it to music? Yes. Could you watch the numbers? Because there's a whole book of numbers in here. What else was there? Visual. How many movies have we seen lately? The Bible. So if we have the ability and we know we can learn the Bible from our dominant styles there, what stops us? I know I don't get up in the mornings and read. It's a great idea, and it doesn't happen. I do get to work, and I have devotionals that come in my email, and I take a few minutes, and I read at work. So I'm getting something in. I'm not completely ignoring that I know I need this. Yeah, is life really so busy that we can't do something? Or do we keep filling it up with things that we think are important, but might not be? The most important words in the Bible are the ones Jesus speaks. That's why some Bibles print them in red. At the end of his time on earth, in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age." Jesus left so Holy Spirit could come and live with us in personal relationship. It had to happen in that order. So what happened next? Jesus left, now we have all these believers, then what? Well, we know, Kay talked to us about Holy Spirit and the 120 in the upper room and the rushing wind and what looked like flames sitting on people's heads and all of the excitement that happened then. And then, in Acts 2, 42, we have all these new believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. How did that happen? How were their numbers being added to? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and met together and had everything in common. Who better to learn from than those who had dedicated themselves to Jesus and followed him for the last 3 years of his earthly life? In 1 Peter, the word tells us, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow in your salvation. Francis Chan, who did this basic series, he tells the story of his oldest child being born and how weird it was that her first instinct was to crave milk. We should crave God's word the same way. It should be more than a discipline or a check mark on a list of to-dos. It should be a desire. Why? Because the Bible is God's story for us. The book comes from God's people to God's people. The Apostle Peter himself tells us, "For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses to his majesty." Amen. Who better to learn from than those who were with Jesus? Amen. Penny told us last week about being part of a body, and in 1 Corinthians we have, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." And it goes on to say, "And God has placed in the church, first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues." Paul says it again in Romans chapter 12. "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." Remember from the passage in Matthew that we're all called to teach? Think of the last time you shared something biblical with someone else. When was it? What was it? Are you sure it was biblical? Did you check? Or was it something you heard someone else say? Did you verify the source? Does that other person live out their beliefs? Are they a good influence? A good example? Is it someone you would follow? Because what we learn comes with a warning. Paul tells us in Timothy, "If anyone teaches otherwise and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, they are conceited and understand nothing. They have an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between people of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain." By reading and following the book, we have been instructed in 2 Timothy, "In the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers who say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry." Because that was such an interesting passage, I tried another translation. So the message... Now, this is the same verses. The message tells us, "I can't impress this on you too strongly. God is looking over your shoulder. Christ himself is the judge with the final say on everyone, living and dead. He is about to break into the open with his rule, so proclaim the message with intensity. Keep on your watch. challenge, warn, and urge your people. Don't ever quit. Just keep it simple. You're going to find that there will be times when people will have no stomach for solid teaching, but will fill up on spiritual junk food. Catchy opinions that tickle their fancy. They'll turn their backs on truth and chase mirages. But you keep your eye on what you're doing. Accept the hard times along with the good. Keep the message alive. Do a thorough job as God's servant.
Amen.
Which translation did you like better, the first one or the second one?
Second.
Same message, different words. Sometimes we need to say, okay, well, this isn't the only book I have. I have an internet. And, well, at my house, I have 20 Bibles. So it's really easy for me to find a different translation. And I know that the message is one that usually gives a different insight than what the NIV does. Peter gives us warning in 2 Peter about false teachers. But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their depraved conduct and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with fabricated stories. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. Over and over and over again, we need to be careful of what we're taking in. Well, my pastor said, well, that's great. He's a great guy, and I trust him. And he also says, go home and look it up.
Yes.
Don't believe me. Don't take my word for it. Go open your Bible and see what it says. One of the most valuable lessons we've ever learned. Open the book.
Yes.
Don't just take somebody else's word for it.
Amen.
And Paul says again in 1 Timothy, watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Remember, you're talking to an audience out there, even if it's one person. People look to us as believers to set an example. And if we stand around inside or outside of the church, complaining, criticizing, tearing others down, or only thinking about ourselves, what do other people think about Christians? We're supposed to be Jesus to people around us.
Amen.
We represent. So Jesus came and he presented himself to people. We are supposed to represent Jesus to others. Are we doing a good job? I say good days and bad days. Some days I'm better at it than others. Yesterday, I don't know how many times Kay said, tone. But I was answering your question, but it's the tone.
Amen.
Home isn't the only place I do that. It's probably where I do it the most, but not the only place. So we need to be aware of what we're doing because there's somebody else there, listening, watching, especially when there's young people around. And Isabella knows I'm looking at her. We've had this conversation before. Somebody's always watching. You don't know who it is necessarily, and you don't know what the reason is or what they're going to pick up. So if you're aware of yourself all the time, you're walking your narrow path.
Amen.
In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John were always in trouble. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, so the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. Remember, they didn't count women and children. So when there's 5,000 men, there's probably at least that many women and children. The apostles were put in jail several times. The religious leaders were threatened. Why were they threatened? They were losing control. Mm-hmm. And in the next chapter, Acts chapter 5, we read, day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. The apostles held on to their truth. They never wavered. They never deviated. They walked that tightrope the whole time, and this is the truth. No matter what anybody else said, no matter what anybody else was teaching, they stuck to it because they lived with Jesus. They knew. In Ephesians chapter 4, Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ.
Amen.
We have to learn what's in the book.
Amen.
When we learn what's in the book, we know when we're hearing right and wrong. I don't know how many times Kay and I are out in public and something completely random will happen in a conversation or on the radio, and I'll say, hey, that reminds me of that story in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And then I look at her and I laugh and tell her I'm such a nerd. But those are happy moments because I can come back to what I have learned and what I know. And I know that because it landed. It didn't just stick in my head, it landed in my heart, so it comes up all the time. In 2 Thessalonians, we read, so then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. Well, the word of mouth we get is somebody standing here talking to everyone. The letters have been kept for us so that we can read them ourselves. And if we're doing it right from here, you should be able to open your book and find it and verify.
Amen.
Paul tells Timothy, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Well, it's what we're doing. This series, we've been able to take turns, and that's been nice. It hasn't all been on pastor's shoulders. We get to share. And in that sharing, we all get to learn more than we knew before.
Yes.
Kay stood here and she said, I didn't do this for you, I did it for me. I'm the one who needed to learn.
Woo-hoo.
And that's what happens. It's exactly what happens when we prepare a message to give on Sunday. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. But we have to learn it somehow. Kay reminded me that when we first started coming to church 11 years ago, we were involved in everything. There was a Thursday spaghetti night, there was a Wednesday Bible study, there was church on Sunday, whatever was offered. We were here. We were here so much we weren't cleaning our house at home. Of course, you know, all that stuff at home doesn't go anywhere, so it's okay. But we went to Bible study and we walked verse by verse through the book of Matthew. Mm-hmm. Pastor taught, and when pastor teaches, and when we go through a book like that, It's history, it's culture, it's not just the words you see on the page. He gives you so much more detail and gives you a deeper understanding. And it's at that point where something starts to click. Oh, hey, that's interesting. But what happens when I read it? When I read it, I just see the words on the page. Well, and then when we started school, we had to get a life application study Bible. Makes a big difference because it's full of notes on the bottom. It gives you summaries of people. It throws a whole bunch more information at you so that you're able to get a bigger picture than just the words. The words aren't bad, but we didn't live 2,000 years ago. We didn't know what that really means. In 2 John, we read, anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take them into your house or welcome them. We are supposed to fellowship. When we attach ourselves to people, ideally, they're like-minded and you can walk with them. However, the other part of what we do is we're supposed to gather people into the family. Yeah. And they're not going to be in the same place. And they're not supposed to be. We're all on a different place on the same journey. I know I've shared before, I was up here praying one time, and I got one of those flash images in my head of a road. And everyone's walking down the road and holding hands, and some are side by side, and some are further behind, and everybody's at a different place. So there are days Kay has to drag me, kicking and screaming. Oh, wait, I dragged her here. Anyway, you get that we're in different places, but on the same path. And in that, as we're walking down that road, we need to be inviting others in. Part of it is who we are. Part of it is what we know. And the biggest part of it is who we belong to. We belong to God. Amen. We should be showing that. It should be core. It should be, because we have a vertical relationship, it should be, we should be working this way. This should be constant. Jody says she feels like she prays all the time. She does pray all the time. All the time. We've been on road trips. We go to dinner at a restaurant. We went for coffee last week, and sure enough, we had to stop and pray. And not just a thank you, Lord, but a big thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here. We come boldly to your throne room. Bless the establishment. The hands have prepared the food. It's a full-on prayer. I don't do that all the time. I remember to say thank you. We definitely do. Thank you, Lord, for the provision, but we don't always continue that. Even so, we're still working on this relationship. So first the vertical, then the horizontal. Makes a cross. Jesus went there so we could be here, together here together. As a family of believers, God's kids. Jody will tell you, you're a king's kid. And she firmly believes it. And it's true. And it's all over the book. You got to look for those verses, though. They don't jump out in that form, but they do give that message. After all, we are called because Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus had the authority. Did he keep it?
Nope.
Did he keep it to himself and say, oh, I'm not sharing with you?
No.
This is what I know. Good luck. That was never, ever part of his plan. There were things that he shared away with the disciples that he didn't share with the masses. But he never kept anything to himself because he wasn't supposed to. I heard Pastor have a conversation with someone and talk about spiritual constipation. Very strange phrase. What? Well, you get so full, you do so many studies, and you've gone through so much. Who are you sharing it with? What are you doing? You can't continue to be filled if you don't let any of it out. Amen. That reminds me. A couple years ago, we went to a funeral for a friend of mine, well, my friend's dad, and they talked about how he lived his life with an open hand. He didn't just want to keep for himself. He would get and give and get and give and get and give. That's how he lived his life. That's how we're supposed to do it.
Amen.
It's not, well, and Pastor will tell you again that he used to believe he with the most toys wins, but he who dies with the most toys is still dead. So what good does it do? So we need to remember that what we learn, we're supposed to share. And all of us are called to do it. It's right there in the book at the end of Matthew, where Jesus' last goodbye there. Well, I guess that wasn't the last one, was it? Didn't it come back in Acts? But you know that if you read the books.
Amen.
So God, we thank you. We thank you for the message. We thank you for the reminders that what we teach, we are not supposed to hold on to. What we learn. We're supposed to share what we learn, not just keep it to ourselves. We thank you, Lord, that as we take a moment, you speak to our hearts. And you pull that nugget out of the message that each of us needs to hear. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for who you are. And we thank you that we have the opportunity to be here in a family who loves us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.